From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Megan Mack. Our connection this hour was made over a period of 22 years, right here in Rochester, with an idea to build a new performing arts center downtown. Throughout the year, several locations for the facility were considered, including Midtown Plaza, Medley Center, and as part of the former Renaissance Square site, but nothing ever came to fruition. Mayor Lovely Warren brought the idea back into the limelight this summer. She's in favor of a new art center, saying it would revitalize downtown and bring jobs to the area. The city has shared two proposals for a facility. One includes a casino, and it recently extended the deadline to submit more ideas. This all brings us to Monday of this week, when the city of Rochester released the results of a feasibility study that measured the potential costs and economic impact of a new downtown performing arts center. It recommended building a 2,850-seat facility at Midtown's Parcel 5 on East Main Street. The project's price tag is estimated to be at more than $75 million, and authors of the study say a public subsidy won't be required. Proponents for a new art center say a 3,000-seat theater is necessary for Rochester to remain competitive in attracting Broadway shows, including one you may have heard of. It's called Hamilton. But those who oppose a new facility worry that a failed project could fall into the hands of taxpayers, would be unsustainable, and would do little to benefit the existing local theater community. We'll discuss a number of questions this hour, the primary one being, of course, does Rochester need a new downtown performing arts center? My three guests all have different opinions on this question, so I'm glad they're here. Arnie Rothschild is the chairman of the Rochester Broadway Theater League and a very outspoken proponent of a new downtown performing arts center. Arnie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for letting me be here.
Ralph Maranto is the artistic director of the JCC Center Stage, and he is not in favor of a new downtown performing arts center. Hi, Ralph.
Thanks for having me.
And Jeff Schuda is the co-owner of Out of Pocket Productions, and he is not 100% sold on the idea and not 100% against it either. So he falls in the middle and says he needs a few more details about the type of space that would be built. Thanks, Jeff, for coming in.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So let's get right to it. I want to start by asking you all the same question so our listeners get a sense of where you're coming from regarding your stance on the project, and then we'll tackle a whole list of questions this hour, including listener questions, so feel free to call in. Arnie, I'll start with you. You've been on this journey the longest, probably.
I'm the oldest.
Why do you think our city needs a new downtown performing arts center?
Well, you have to recognize that that theater, in addition to adding to the artistic fiber of a community, is also a business. And the Auditorium Theater, which is a 2,460-seat venue, has become too old and too small for some of the major touring productions that that move around the country. People don't realize that we currently use the Auditorium Theater about 137 nights a year, even though it's not air-conditioned. So there's a couple of months in the year when we can't even use it. So what we recognize is that absent a new, larger, state-of-the-art venue, then Rochester will continue to move lower and lower on the list of Broadway tours. Ultimately, we don't think that RBTL can survive, and so we have been proposing this since 1995, when Phantom of the Opera changed how people in Rochester saw and expected theater.
So I have to ask a question that David Riley proposed in his DNC article. If we need a theater this badly, why hasn't one been built already?
Well, you're never going to build a theater unless it becomes a performing arts center type theater, unless it becomes a priority of both the mayor and county executive and the community at the same time. And so if you back up time, there was a moment in time when Bill Johnson was the mayor, Maggie Brooks was the county executive, when it became a community priority, and they had combined the theater, MCC's downtown campus, and the transit terminal, and they had acquired, whether that was a good idea or a bad idea, they had about $100 million in the bank to do that. After Bill Johnson wasn't the mayor, Bob Duffy was in favor of it until he was opposed to it, which had more to do with the transit piece, by the way, because Representative Slaughter was proposing an intermodal facility. Tom Richards, when he became the mayor, didn't really accept the concept that these things can operate without a deficit. And even though we showed him two different financial studies, he was still talking about the Renaissance Square math. And in Renaissance Square, there was $1 million a year that was going to be needed in public subsidy, but it was driven by common charges for a 24/7 transit terminal to be shared in part by the Performing Arts Center. So The first moment in time when it actually has become a forefront priority to the mayor since the Bill Johnson period of time was when Lovely Warren began to speak about it again. So it hasn't moved forward because unless there's buy-in in the political community, there is no way. There's no way I can, for example, go into a room with a major underwriter, talk about naming rights, unless I'm sitting there with the mayor and the county executive who say it's their priority. So we have never even aggressively tried to raise the money until it becomes a priority.
So is it safe to say this is the furthest along we've been in the process over the last 22 years?
Oh, I would without a doubt. And the important thing about the feasibility study that was just done was that it once again reinforced something we've been saying about a standalone venue. And there were actually two different scenarios studied. One was a 2,850-seat theater, 300 or 350-seat black box, 100-seat black box, carpentry rooms, whatever. That was a $163 million facility that would require a $1.6 million a year operating subsidy. The other that was studied was the standalone $75 million venue that very honestly, if as I said in an article, if it is to be built, RBTL has to do it. And that shows that there would not be an operating subsidy necessary.
We'll talk about the individual options that were brought up in the study in a few moments. But before we do that, I want to turn to Ralph and Jeff and get your stance on the issue. Ralph, when we talked briefly yesterday, I asked you on the spectrum of 100% in favor to vehemently opposed, where do you fall? And you said you were personally 100% opposed to the idea of a new performing arts center. Why is that?
Well, I am. I'm 100% personally opposed to it. I totally get why people want it. I get why RBTL thinks that they could have a great new facility, and everybody would love to have a new facility. I might have a beautiful 300-seat theater at the JCC. But if somebody said to me, hey, we're going to build you an even better one with even better acoustics and even better fly systems and even more wing space and a better shop, and you know, I would be like, yeah, let's do it. And if people wanted to put money behind that to give me an even bigger and better theater, I would totally go for that. Do I sometimes need more seats than my 300? Absolutely. Saturday night's performance of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson is almost sold out. So would I love to have an extra 20 or 30% more seats so that I could sell those? I absolutely would. But the number of times I need that totally sold out extra space, the number of times I need these extra in comparison to the cost that it would take to make that happen, I don't see that happening. We have what I consider a beautiful, beautiful theater, the Auditorium Theater, that is a showplace that is part of our community and has been part of our community since 1928. And I think to leave that behind for a new building when that facility could be updated. I get that it's hard. We're going through a big renovation at the JCC right now. I get why it's much harder to renovate than it is to just build something new. But Hamilton, the show that everybody keeps talking about, we're not getting Hamilton because our theater is too small and too old, is playing in New York at the Richard Rogers at a theater that is built in 1925 and that only had 1,600 seats. So I don't see why we can't put the resources into creating the things that the Auditorium Theater needs. We can put air conditioning in, we can expand it, we can do more to it to make it what it needs to be.
I see, Arnie, you want to jump in?
Yeah, respectfully, the question isn't the numbers of times that you need more seats, but let me come back to this for a second. There was a study done about 4 years ago of what would be involved in renovating the Auditorium Theater and creating more seats. And the only way to do that would be to raise the roof 20 feet and build a second balcony. And the cost, by the way, including building adequate parking, because we don't control any parking, was $60 million. So what we're weighing is a $60 million renovation of a small old theater or a $75 million new building. But that
well,
said...
I would still argue that, you know, I would rather still have us update the old one, but...
But sadly, you don't have to maintain it, and we do, because we own it. But let me just finish the point. Because you... Here's the business of touring Broadway. So, and Hamilton is a great example, not because it is a one-off, but because it just is top of mind with people. We have 2,400, call it 2,400 seats, and Shays in Buffalo has, call it 3,000 seats. So there's 600 more seats in what we call the legit week, which is 8 performances over 6 days. That's 4,800 more seats. At an average of $50 a seat, as they're looking at theater capacity, and I'll come back to why they look at theater capacity, that means they would do essentially $250,000 more in 1 week in Buffalo than they would in Rochester. Now, it costs the same to ship the show to Buffalo. It costs the same to house the show in Buffalo, to stage the show in Buffalo. What we are saying is, absent that additional capacity, because that is what they look at, and in fact, Rochester was on the second page in terms of capacity for the tour. Even though Rochester is a better theater town, as Buffalo is a better professional sports town, as Syracuse is a better amateur sports town, both of those have 3,000 seat plus facilities. And so what we are saying is, here's a great example. We don't get a shot at the show until it goes to the bigger venues. A few years ago, we lost Robin Williams, who opted to appear, because we do more than just Broadway. We do a lot of popular entertainment and music in the building and a lot of comedy. Robin Williams went first to Buffalo, then to Syracuse, based on theater capacity. So we are not proposing something to be used solely for Broadway. We're talking about a venue to use over 200 nights a year, and 3,000 seats is the right level. And by the way, I would love to gift the Auditorium Theater to the JCC, but anyway, but we're going to continue to own it and operate it and pay for it.
I have a lot of questions from listeners about the future of the Auditorium Theater, if a new center would be built, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But first, Jeff, knowing that there are two options now, there's the option one, which was recommended, a standalone theater, and then option two, which would include two smaller theaters, an outdoor venue, and educational space. Does that help sway your decision in a new direction?
Well, I think yes. I mean, I think that there are a couple large questions here, right? Should it be built, A, which we're talking about, and B, what should be built? And I'm sure we'll continue to talk about if it should be built, and I have real questions about sort of, you know, what you do with the Auditorium Center and what we can do with that corridor, that main part of Main Street, if the Auditorium Center is no longer there as the Broadway touring venue. But I know as someone who owns a sort of non resident theater company in a really burgeoning theater community in Rochester. I'm certainly much more in fan of building something that would serve the larger theater community in Rochester, not just the standalone Broadway house. Right now, just the out-of-pocket sort of situation ourselves for our small little community theater, you know, we've been in many places, and we've sort of landed at MUC, the Multi-Use Community Cultural Center, over the last couple of years, which is a wonderful facility, a scrappy little place, and it's booked 360, probably 3 days a year. And if people wanted, I'm sure if somebody wanted Easter and Christmas, they would book that too. So there's a lot of theater out there, but for smaller groups, you know, you're sort of competing with each other, and then, you know, I don't have the luxury like Ralph does of having rehearsal space. Even though the JCC is pretty catch-as-catch-can in terms of rehearsal spaces, and so that's something you have to figure out and pay for. And then competing, you know, rent and competing with other groups, and so I really hope that if we do build something, it's going to be something that serves the entire community with money that is going to, you know, come back in and fund not just sort of the Broadway tours, but which I love. I've lived in cities that I'm from Buffalo. I love Shays Buffalo. I've lived here. I've lived in cities that don't have a Broadway house, and I would miss that terribly. I'm a huge fan of the RBTL, but I think if we build something, it should be something that, you know, as you said, several other theaters, rehearsal halls, a dance studio, things that say, listen, this is going to represent everything that represents sort of the arts in Rochester, and it's not just serving one segment of that.
Mm-hmm. So. Did you want to jump in, Arnie? I have a question for you about terminology that sort of falls along this, and maybe you can help us out.
Good.
So a listener wrote in with a question about terminology, and he said that there's a difference between a performing arts center and a Broadway theater. A performing arts center usually contains several venues and is used by a number of organizations. A theater is just that, mostly a venue for traveling shows. He says the terms have been used interchangeably, but in reality, they're different. He also says most of the profits from bringing traveling Broadway shows to Rochester end up someplace else. So that's his primary concern. We'll talk about funding in a moment. But in terms of the terminology, are we using the term?
Well, there were two parts of what they said. And first of all, the reason it's been called a performing arts center is because in different generations of what's been studied, it was. That was the downfall, ultimately, of Renaissance Square, was that there were multiple venues within the Renaissance Square concept. The performer indicated that they would not always be used on an ongoing basis. So I want to go back to something that he said. Most of the money, you know, leaves the market. Certainly, the business model of RBTL is different than resident theater companies. And let's just talk about how that works. We rent the theater. We also get facility fees. We get ticketing fees. RBTL has operated at an operating surplus 12 of the last 13 years. RBTL is one of the largest users of hotel rooms in the community because we house the casts. That's no different in popular entertainment. If Barbra Streisand came to perform in Rochester in a building like that we're talking about, it isn't like she's going to leave the money here. We're not talking about what we're talking about is what is technically called a roadhouse. And my belief is that if you look at the site at Parcel 5, that you will begin to develop other smaller venues around it in properties by virtue of the fact that people will become used to coming back downtown on an ongoing basis for entertainment. I in my quote in the Democrat and Chronicle, we talked about that I believe, and I am by trade a marketing person, okay, and that I believe that this will be an absolute boom kind of period of time for Jiva, Blackfriars, entities that cross-promote with us. So we're going to change that culturally, but it is a roadhouse, technically. A performing arts center is what people perceive to be a performing arts center. And this, in a couple of different generations has been a performing arts center. We'll call it what we want. All that said, one of the things that we have proposed is, or two of the things. First, we would continue to own and operate the Auditorium Theater. So let's talk about that. The Aud is a very good 1,500-seat theater. And it's very adequate in terms of parking for a 1,500-seat venue. There is a new tax credit bill in New York State that allows theater productions to move into a market, work out the kinks of the show, begin to work towards packaging it for the road. We think we can do three or four of those multi-week events. It is a beloved asset in the minority community where we do a tremendous amount of shows, gospel shows, deaf comedy shows, and on and on and on, minority-targeted shows, and we've even done a number of funerals and weddings and political events in there. We are going to continue to use the Auditorium Theater. Going through the drill of trying to move the roof up to increase capacity is not something we think works in anyone's benefit, although a number of years ago we proposed, and someone referred to the Aud as the Auditorium Center. The Aud is actually a theater plus an office building complex. We don't own the office building complex. We own only the theater condo. But a number of years ago, we proposed acquiring the entire complex, renovating office space, rehearsal space in other parts of the building, and creating, you know, a showcase kind of venue for the arts. And we met unbelievable resistance from the arts community. There was a representative of Garth Stanth's company that said we would never be housed in that rat-infested building. So, you know, this is something that we've looked at and proposed years ago, but it's no longer serviceable. There is one last thing, and then I'll be quiet. When you build a new building, one of the faults of the Aud is that it's in someone's neighborhood. When we load in, and major productions, by the way, travel with 25 or so tractor trailers. When we load in shows, we're keeping people up at night. But there is no economic impact as a result of the Aud in the direct ability to walk to a restaurant or go out before and after the show. And one of the things that is an important part of the experience in the new venues is people go out to dinner before. They go to the show, they go back out for dessert afterwards, And we believe that on the Parcel 5 location, which is the old McCurdy site in Midtown, that you'll see tremendous growth in terms of restaurants, retail, as has been the case, and more people living near there, as has been the case all over the country.
Oh, go ahead, Ralph.
And one of the things that Arnie said originally is that it's right now poised to be a priority for the community. I haven't heard this be a priority for the community. I understand it's a priority for RBTL. I understand that there are some politicians who feel it's a priority. I'm not hearing it as a priority from the average person who I talk to on the street. And the idea that having this kind of performing arts center is going to trickle down to the other theaters, there's an impact, a huge economic impact, and that's why it's important that we have tours coming to Rochester, and I go to see them, and everybody goes to see them, and it's great. The amount of trickle-down that's going to be a difference between the current odd at 2,500 seats and a bigger one at 3,000 seats, it's not enough of a difference. We're just talking about some extra income that's going to producers. It's the same number of hotel rooms, the same number of other investments in the community that come from these roadhouses coming in. So does the bigger theater have enough of a bigger impact to justify that $75 million price tag? I think not. And I would be very suspect to see if Parcel 5, having a performing arts center or a roadhouse theater, would generate enough restaurant business, et cetera, for those people to survive 365 days out of the year. We have restaurants right near the auditorium right now at Village Gate Square. Many of them, I think, do very well with people who come in and have dinner before they go to the shows. I think you need a more sustainable downtown project before you can start getting retail and restaurants to as part of the community there. Because otherwise, people come from the suburbs, they drive downtown, they park, they see the show, they get back in their car, and then they go out to the pub in Fairport.
I would love Jerry Serafin from Two Vine to call. Ralph, there is a very specific economic impact part of the studies, and they've been numerous studies. And the Broadway League, by the way, has a model that indicates that for every dollar in ticket sales, there's about $3 in result in economic impact. And, you know, we can agree to disagree about the economic impact. I think I have a different view. It's not just about building a bigger theater. It has to do with when you said it's not a community priority, within the study that was done recently, 38% of the people that go to entertainment events said they would go more frequently in a new venue as opposed to the existing venue. So,
but were they given the opportunity to say, if this facility was renovated, if we had a better parking, if we had better lighting, if we had all those things, that was probably not part of the either-or question.
Yeah, we didn't conduct the survey.
Let's talk about the survey for a second.
Sure.
Let's talk about the study. We had a listener named Don who wanted to know two things about the study itself. Who did the study and who paid for the study? And he says that it's easy to reach the conclusions you want by simply hiring someone. And he says, if they know what you want them to conclude, they will have an incentive to reach that conclusion. So I think people in the community are a little concerned that the study was not as objective as it could have possibly been.
Well, the study was conducted by a Cleveland-based firm, one of the most respected in America, called Westlake Reed Laskoski, in concert with Lincoln Center. And so, you know, in terms of, you know, those are probably, you know, Westlake Reed is, you know, as I said, one of the top two or three in the country, and Lincoln Center is Lincoln Center. How the study was paid for was a combination of things. New York State paid part. There was, I believe, my memory is, and forgive me if I'm wrong, $215,000 total cost of the study. New York State paid part. The city of Rochester paid, I think, $30 million. The county paid $30 million. RBTL paid $55 million. And RBTL was interviewed solely by the consultants. We had no role in the creation of any questions, no role in the process of who would be interviewed. That was all administered by Westlake Reed and a company from Connecticut, also well-respected, called AMS, whose clients locally included the University of Rochester, and they did the study on the Eastman. So, you know, the study was a very objective study. It was not a study that started with a conclusion. In fact, one of the things that I was frustrated about when I found out about it, there were actually 14 sites, as I understand it, studied. And, you know, what we felt concerned about was that you know, all of a sudden a site that we had never contemplated that didn't allow for the load in and load out and the 25 tractor trailers or whatever. We had no input. We were never interviewed to find out what our needs had actually been, other than them by the consultants. So, you know, I think it was a very reputable above board study.
I have some questions coming in about public subsidies, but I'm late for a break. So we're going to take our only break of the hour, a very short break. And when we come back, we'll get to your questions and phone calls. And we'll ask a very popular question right now. Will this fall on taxpayers' shoulders? So quick break, and we'll be right back with more Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we're ending the week with Frankenstein. Since Mary Shelley wrote her classic novel in the early 1800s, we've seen countless versions of the Frankenstein narrative hit the stage and screen. And while they all bring a different take on the original story, they raise similar questions about nature versus nurture, good versus evil, and more. A local professor has written a book on the subject. We'll talk to him. That's next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Megan Mack, sitting in for Evan Dawson today. We're having a conversation about whether or not Rochester needs a new downtown performing arts center, or roadhouse, another term that we've been discussing. And I'd like to come back with the question about funding. One of the main concerns that the community seems to have is the study that was conducted states that there will be no need for an ongoing subsidy. So, Arnie, why do you and why should taxpayers accept the idea that there will not be a need for a subsidy? How can we guarantee that that will not happen?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, the final economic model and what we propose has not been done. And because there are a couple of problems at the Parcel 5 site that have come up over the last week or so since the study came out, let me explain that briefly. When the Democrat and Chronicle building was put in place, there was a roadway put in next to it that narrowed the site. The site currently has been narrowed by 30 feet from what it historically had been. The last time a theater was studied for that site, the site was wide enough. Right now, we're going to have to try to figure out how to reconfigure things with two city streets that are put in. Also, we are not proposing, at least currently not proposing, as we move forward, we're proposing that RBTL would own the site. And so, we actually don't want government to operate the site. So, you know, we're going to have to, in our funding model, anticipate that the site will not require a public subsidy. And one of the ways that we're going to do that in our fundraising model is to create an endowment. So there's nothing contemplated about a governmental subsidy, at least as RBTL envisions this. In the past, it was contemplated that either a public benefit corporation or an operating authority would own all these public buildings like Frontier Field, the soccer stadium, the convention center, blah, blah, blah. That's not what we're looking at right now. My quote the other day was, if this is going to get done, RBTL will have to do it. So the subsidy question in that construct is off the table, just as right now no one is subsidizing the auditorium theater because we have a business plan and we're operating in the surplus.
So if the center were to be built and something went wrong, who is the official owner of the center? Go ahead.
Yeah, there is no – I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
Again, you know, understand that we're in the front end of the planning
process. Right, of course.
But I believe that what we are proposing or will propose is RBTL be the owner.
Okay. That clears a lot of questions up that I'm seeing coming in online. There's a question from Chris on Twitter, just some clarification. He said, did your guest just say this study cost in the millions to conduct? And the answer to that is no. Arnie, what was the figure again?
I believe it was 215,000.
Okay, 215,000, Chris.
Yeah.
You may have actually said million in that sentence somewhere, and I think that's where it came from.
Oh, okay. So just to clarify.
That was not right, what the cost was, obviously. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll take the saving and we'll apply it to the
right. Such a deal,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
we get that money?
Protect you from your subsidy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think that people out there are concerned about how this is going to impact the community from a cost point of view. And we don't want another Fast Ferry.
We don't want, or
even a private venture like another Irondequoit Mall. And I think that is certainly a concern that people have. And then I look at the success of the Kodak Hall renovations, where they took the Eastman Theater, renovated it, turned it into what they needed it to be, which was different than it was intended for. It was a long process. It was an expensive process. But the result is a beautiful, beautiful building that people are going to and that I think is very successful. And I still believe that if the priority was to do something with the Auditorium Theater to make it the show place and to handle a lot of these things, I believe that it could still do that. And I think that the community would come out and support that. Sure, you say, would you go to a new building? They go, yeah, sounds good. But where is that new building? Where is the parking? How much do I have to pay to park? How far do I have to walk to get in there? Do I like the seats there? Do I like the acoustics there? All of that is fickle, just like any survey where numbers can be manipulated based on people's opinions in the moment and the question.
So I just want to make sure I understand something, not to debate you.
No, of course.
So if RBTL were to sell the community the Auditorium Theater, an entity where we had to go out and get the money and borrow money to renovate it, and then it began to operate at a deficit after the renovation, that would be okay. Right now what we do is we have created no public burden. So all we're proposing is, let us move forward with a project that also creates no public burden. The fact that you like the theater aside, the truth of the matter is we have to operate it. We have to program it. We know that we're shelf dated if we continue there in its current size. So, to right size it, if you will. It would cost $60 million.
Well, that's if you raise the roof and you add the extra seats. How much if you do all the other things that it needs without – because you said earlier the extra seats aside. So do we need the extra seats just so that we can get Hamilton?
In all fairness, I said earlier Hamilton was an example of a problem, okay? We got Book of Mormon because of our relationship with Albert Nocciolino and his purchasing power in Broadway.
And his connectivity to Rochester.
Once Albert Nocciolino retires, we will solely be in the dueling venue era, okay? So we're not going to get the product. And what we are saying simply, and we're a not-for-profit, as you are, is for us to continue in business, and we put 5,000 kids a year through education programs. We know we need a bigger venue. We're not asking the public to subsidize that venue. We're saying, okay, as responsible operators of a 501c3, we believe we can accomplish this. We don't believe the building we own and maintain and operate currently can be renovated in a way that it works long term. It's an 80-plus-year-old building. So we're just trying to advance a project that we are trying to accomplish for our community.
Okay. I know Jeff wants to weigh in. Then I've got to get to some phone calls. Jeff.
I would add this, and again, I'm not a city planner by any stretch of the imagination. I will take you at your word about the, whether the building is can be renovated or not. But it does strike me too that corridor of Main Street strikes me as an opportunity that the city could somehow, find a way to maximize in terms of, there is the Armory there, there is the Auditorium Center, Blackfriars is there. Now you have some apartment buildings are being renovated, and it just strikes me as not troubling isn't the right word, but the idea of pulling the RBTL out of there, and as you said, there are other programming as well, and maybe it would remain feasible. I don't know. There seems to be an opportunity there of a part of Main Street that languishes a little bit. That if we put some muscle behind that, could do some good things. And so I think that's something to think about as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got to work in some phone calls. Craig and Bud, thanks for waiting. We're going to start with Craig in Pittsburgh. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, hi. I'm weighing in as a member of the unions. I've toured with several Broadway shows. Back in the 90s, there was a renovation. We came in with No Nanette. We had to leave, I think, about a third of the set on one of the trucks, and With Annie, we came in, we left most of New York City and a lot of other scenery on the truck, simply because there's no backstage space. That's not improved. And what most people probably are not aware of is there are different levels of touring and different levels of cities. Rochester, at best, is, if you look at the larger cities that take tours, A cities. Buffalo had been a B city. The renovation, the multi-millions of dollars that they spent on the gorgeous renovation of Shays, now has bumped that up to, it's arguably A. Some contracts have gone out B. Rochester is a C. We don't have the support services for the cast, the actors, the walkability of the city, and so on. And if you look at just one of our near neighbors, Buffalo, they do have an arts quarter. I'm just weighing in on some ideas that I'm hearing you talk about here from the point of view of someone touring. When I toured with another show, the producer chose not to come to Rochester because, frankly, it couldn't handle our lighting requirements. And I know with just a year or two ago, we had Young Frankenstein in. That was the set had gone down so many revisions at that point that it was mostly soft goods, that is drapery, a few platforms and things, because the hard scenery like you would see in a Broadway show on Broadway, when I say Broadway show, I mean in New York City, or a show emanating from New York City that's produced by a league of Broadway producers. And a lot of the shows that the Broadway League comes in are not, quote, Broadway shows, are not produced by league producers. So they're not the same thing that you would have seen in New York City. They've been tailored down so much to accommodate venues like the Odd or even university venues. So we don't have a first-class performing arts roadhouse. And I think there is opportunity for a corridor. The question is, what do we want to do? There's
right.
a lot of public money spent in a lot of cities to a lot of great good. I suppose there's some places you could point as not good examples. But I can tell you, years ago, I remember there was a renovation at the Flynn Theater. I've played, by the way, every major city in the U.S. and a lot of smaller ones, all 50 states, a lot of Canada. The Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont, was an example. I know one year we came through with another smaller show I was with, and we were talking about this multi-million-dollar renovation they're going to do to get. At the time, Cats was something they'd been trying to get. They couldn't accommodate the load-in of the scenery except for the lowest tier of the tour. And they spent the money to increase the entrance, the re-support with steel where they needed to, and millions of dollars to be able to accommodate that particular loaded in a production. Hamilton is a very small show, technically.
Right.
It's got, I think, four effects. The show decks have stuff built in. We cannot accommodate a deck in the auditorium.
Okay,
thanks,
Greg.
Two effects.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Greg. Yeah. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to have Ralph and Jeff respond to some of your comments.
Well, I'm just going to comment on the thing that he said about renovation of Shays. So what he said was by renovating Shays, they elevated its stance. So that's what I'm arguing for, is that same thing.
Different venue in the middle of a downtown with different overall size. And so if the Auditorium Theater was in the middle of downtown so that we could renovate the theater and create the economic sprawl, the key to Shays is a three-block area around it now that has just exploded, but there's not room in the Odd to accomplish the renovation that you're talking about without blowing the walls out.
I would, and again, it was a stipulation that I'm not a city planner. I am a native Buffalonian, though, and I would argue this, because it's a bit of a chicken and egg question. I grew up in Buffalo, and for a very long time, when you would go down to Shays, it was a ghost town. The Shays did not create that boom that you're talking about. It did not bring – Buffalo did a whole bunch of other things about getting people downtown, living downtown, being there. Obviously, the Sabres help and the rent, but all that. And then Shays benefited from that. I'm not sure that – and again, I am deeply sympathetic to – I know exactly what the caller is speaking of. I've had family members and friends who've been on tours. I know exactly what he's talking about in terms of scalability and all that. You know, I want to see the best version of the tour that I can, but I'm not entirely sure that, in terms of chicken and egg debate, that that the theater creates the other things. Because again, for many, many years, you got on the subway, the little tiny subway that Buffalo has, you got off in 5-degree weather, you ran into Shays, and then you went home. And it's not like that as much anymore because Buffalo is really, really booming. But
it was part of an overall plan,
right?
Not
yes.
just one
right.
venue
yes.
that drove
yes.
that,
but there, we're not talking about one element any more than we are the Aronoff Center, you know, which created a tremendous amount of change in downtown Cincinnati, or the Kravis Center that created a tremendous amount of change in West Palm. You know, right now you have people that want to live downtown. You have a lot of people, you know, looking to come back downtown. I happen to live downtown. And, you know, back to the caller's point, we can either turn our head away from the realities of, and I come back to using the term, the business of entertainment, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, in this context, the art form. Phantom of the Opera was a lot of people's first exposure to anything operatic. As a result, it gave birth to three tenors popularity. Three tenors gave birth to a growth in opera. You know, what we're talking about the entertainment business and an appropriate entertainment venue, not just dropped in the middle of nowhere. We're talking about, you know, whether this is appropriate, which is, by the way, you know, let me remind everyone, all the study talked about was the theater there. It didn't talk about right. the casino potential, you know, so.
That's
so
another whole discussion.
That's a whole other hour.
But here's my point. Would you rather have this this roadhouse there or the casino there? I mean, that's a decision that the community has to make as well.
Right.
And there are those proponents of a casino location who will make a lot of compelling arguments. We're just trying to, that would be our preferred site. If we can't accomplish it on that site, we still have to build something, whether people agree with that. We have to for our own survival. And if it has to be in a suburban location, it has to be there.
Wouldn't that defeat the purpose of revitalizing downtown? Or the link that they're saying is important to bringing a performing arts center down here?
No. We want to do it downtown. We're the ones that proposed that site 22 years ago. That said, you know, at the end of the day, if the community as a whole, as Ralph said, if that's not a priority, we recognize that. But for our own organization's survival, we need to build somewhere.
Okay. I've got Bud and Chyla waiting on the line. Let's take his call. Hi, Bud. Thanks for waiting.
Well, my comments started with something simple, so to speak, but I started hearing all the other comments about not being able to accommodate the performers and so forth.
Right,
so
and Bud, just to jump in for one sec, Bud, we'll have to keep our comments a little tight because we're coming down to our last few minutes.
Okay. You need an elevator for people to get up there because we went to the Wait Christmas and my wife could hardly make it up to the blood seats. The final thing is, what about the Masonic Temple right next door? There's plenty of space in there, and I'm thinking if they still own it, they would give it to you. So why can't you just expand into that building for storage, for performance places, and maybe that's the place to put the elevator, right up next to the side of the Auditorium Theater. It's a beautiful place, and it houses the Rochester Theater Organ Society, something unique in this part of the country.
Thank you, Bud.
The Auditorium Theater is actually the Masonic Temple. And the other part of the complex, there's a couple of other, you know, ritual rooms, if you will, that are now churches. And one of the big problems with the Odd is handicap accessibility. And in fact, we borrowed $150,000 the year before last to build handicap accessible restrooms on the first level. But there is no way to construct an elevator because we don't own that part of the building. The building's condoed.
Okay. There's a question from Kate on Twitter. She wants to know, has anyone considered the Kodak Theater on the Ridge in lieu of a new venue? Plenty of parking. I'm not sure how many seats that venue has.
It's a large venue.
It's 1,900.
It's 1,900. It can be expanded to like 24 or 500 maybe. Right. We've looked at it. It doesn't work. It's the same kind of problem that we have.
Okay. When we had a conversation on this program, I think it was June 28th, we had some representatives of local theaters in here, and there was one concern from Danny Hoskins at Blackfriars Theater, and he said, if we want to revitalize the area of East Main Street, we don't want to see the Auditorium Theater empty. And we've established during this conversation that won't happen. You'll continue to operate the Auditorium Theater.
As long as it's viable.
And that raises other questions about sustainability. But if we were to open a new venue, have we hit capacity? What is capacity? How many people in this town can support the number of productions that are going on already? And can we support additional performances.
May I respectfully point out that it was Ralph who said, as long as it's viable, not me.
Ralph Lorenzo from Center Stage, that wasn't RBTL's position. Good clarification, Ernie, I totally appreciate that. Look,
we believe that, understand this, the viability and sustainability of these buildings is a subset of debt, and because of the way we've done the deal, to keep the RBTL healthy, we believe that we can continue to operate that building effectively on an ongoing basis as a 1,500-seat theater. That's a determination we've made. Now, have we, over the last couple of years, experienced facility problems? We absolutely have. Thankfully, Assemblyman Gant helped us to obtain some money to fix the roof because of, you know, water that was coming in. That's what happens with an 80-plus-year-old building. But we think, you know, that there will always be a place for the odd.
I mean, I think it's a valid question. I think for coming from kind of the community theater perspective, and you know, there is a lot of audience out there. I do think, though, there is a lot of untapped audience as well. And I'm a big believer of the idea that if a community values something, it can make a statement about that by how it chooses to spend its money or how it allocates space downtown or in other places. And to have it, and again, my position has been that if we're going to build something of this, I would like to see it be something multi, you know, that isn't just for the Roadhouse purpose, but is going to allow for the local theater community to also benefit, you know, and a rising tide lifts all boats. And I do think that we can make a statement about valuing the arts and making this a place that we want to live in. You know, I was reading the city newspaper coverage about the Photonics Center, you know, and all the jobs that may bring here and all the, we have to have things for people to do, and you have to make this a, and the idea too that, okay, I go to see the Broadway show, and you're absolutely right about the hotels and all the economic trickle down. I agree with that. But I also think there's something to be said about, I'm going to go see a show and everybody involved in this show has chosen to make their living here in Rochester, and is and I am the money that I am paying for the city is going to continue to feed into that organization. And I think that there's something, you know, and maybe it's a bit of pie in the sky and a bit of idealism, but I like to think that if we do build something, that it's something that's going to contribute to everything involved in sort of the theater community, and then to figure out how do we reach out to those people who are not yet going to see whatever, whether it is Family Opera or whether it is a 100-seat, you know, really well done.
But none of those are being proposed for the current building. They're proposing a Roadhouse. And, you know, these small theater companies are unlikely to be able to afford rent for rehearsals and performances in a building that's a $75 million brand new building. So they're still relegated to old churches that are converted into venues and things like that. So I don't think that this proposal is meant to solve that problem. It might, and I totally believe that RBTL firmly believes that this is the right choice. I know that that's what they believe, and they think that it'll have a strong impact on the community. And I'm a guy who loves retro stuff. I live in a 1960s house. I work at the JCC that was originally built in the 70s. And even though we're building this beautiful new expansion, I'm still like, yeah, but can we keep that wood wall? Because it's so 70s from the original. You know, so I love the beauty that is the Auditorium Theater Center. And I want to see it be the showplace like Shays is. And is that feasible? I haven't studied the 150-page document that just came out, obviously. But in my heart, and when I talk to people in the community, we all want to believe that we can sustain that beautiful, beautiful space as our Roadhouse. And that's my point, just from my heart. And I just will leave you with that thought.
So two proposals have been submitted to the city at this point. The deadline has been extended to September 9th. Arnie, are you hoping that more proposals will come in? Will the RBTL be submitting their own proposal? I know you're not taking a stance on the two that have been released so far. We're down to our last minute.
My assumption is that there'll be proposals, including a casino proposal. RBTL is working with engineers right now to try to figure out the sizing of the site. And it was our intent. We asked for the extension because we wanted to see the feasibility study before submitting a proposal.
Okay, good. That clarifies a lot of questions. In our last minute, is there anything else that you would like to add? Sum up your quick points, 15 seconds each.
I was downtown for the jazz festival. I was sad that the Midtown wasn't even there anymore. So, you know, this is just kind of my take on keeping our community vibrant and preserving our resources.
Anybody else want to weigh in? Wow, you've all gone quiet.
No, I really believe that when we roll out a plan that the community will embrace it. I think we can create our own mini Lincoln Center for downtown between the Eastman and a new Performing Arts Center / Roadhouse.
Well, I know we'll be continuing this discussion in the weeks and months to come. So I'd like to thank all my guests for coming in today. Arnie Rothschild from the RBTL, Jeff Shuda from Out of Pocket Productions, and Ralph Maranto from the JCC. More Connections is next. We'll be talking about Frankenstein. Stay with us.